There's some crazy stats out there for this Auburn football team, and I'm not entirely sure what to do with them.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Friday, bye week Friday. There's no game tomorrow. There is a huge basketball game, and we talked about it on the Barn Hoops podcast. You need to check that one out. That comes out today, previewing that matchup. But today we're going to talk about a stat that to me is pretty mind-blowing on offense and defense for this Auburn football team, and compare them to Auburn teams of past that had similar statistics, and then talk about what does this mean? How do we get here, and where do we go from here? So, but before we do that, we got to give a shout-out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double-up deposit bonus. Give them $200. They're going to give you another $200 back to play with. Just for using the coupon code. So hit that sports book. You can bet any sporting event you can imagine, any way you can imagine. They got it all. You can do live betting. You can do parlays, teasers, round robins, all the fun stuff you like to do. And you can go ahead and use that bonus for, a little bit of risk-free fun. So check them out, mybookie.ag. So a stat that I noticed earlier in the week, you know, it's taken me this long to really digest it, to really unpack it, to really look into it and understand why, understand how, and everything that goes along with it. But Josh Pate, who I love, kind of a local guy. I think he's from Columbus, Georgia, and he's done really well for himself, obviously. I know a lot of people call him a Bammer, but I think he has pretty rational takes. I think he's pretty fair. And overall, he's just entertaining. And obviously, he has a good team. He comes up with some really cool talking points and statistics. And he tweeted out something about Auburn this week, and it just sort of blew my mind. So here's what it is. So Auburn, if you look at total defense, now what is total defense? Total defense is just simply yards allowed. Total defense is yards allowed. Total offense is total yards gained. Okay. So it's not talking about points or anything of that nature, anything advanced statistics, just how many yards has Auburn given up and how many yards has Auburn gotten compared to the rest of the country. So through nine games, Auburn is 21st in total defense. Okay. So top 25 defense in the whole country. This is not, again, not SEC. This is the country. Okay. To give you some perspective, that's better than Ole Miss, BYU, and Alabama, who are in the playoffs. Auburn is 46th in total offense. Believe it or not, as bad as it seems like the offense has been at times, from a yards gained perspective, Auburn is 46th in total offense. That's better than Notre Dame, Colorado, believe it or not, and Texas A&M. Again, all teams that are, I believe he listed all teams. I didn't think Colorado was in the playoffs, but they're essentially all top teams that are close to getting into the playoffs. When you watch I've talked about how I felt like Auburn's close at times, and I think this is what I've seen put onto paper with statistics, where it feels like we're a pretty solid defense. It feels like at times we're moving the ball pretty well. What's missing? You know, what's missing? Why are we 3-6? And I think this kind of explains what I've been saying, what I've been feeling. I just haven't been able to put it, I haven't been able to put like pen to paper and figure out exactly why I feel that way. Those are really good numbers through nine games. I'm going to give you a little bit of historical perspective, and it may open your eyes and it may depress you, may make you happy and may make you sad at the same time. So it's pretty crazy. So I thought when I saw this, I was like, well, I wonder how common that is. You know, I mean, I feel like Auburn's had some pretty good offenses at times, probably had some pretty solid defenses at times. How many times over the past, I don't know, since 2000, has Auburn been able to marry those two up and be a top, a 21st or better defense and a 46th or better offense? Doesn't even feel like 46th is that great. Like, surely we've had several offenses over the past 24 years that have been inside that. And we have, but we just haven't been able to couple them with a good defense, and vice versa. Had really good defenses, haven't been able to couple it with a good offense. So you go back to, if you go back from 2000 to today, there's only been two times that Auburn has had statistics that are inside both of those categories in the same year. So there's only been 2 years where Auburn has had better than a top 21 defense and better than a top 46 offense twice. What 2 years do you think those are, if you had to guess? Obviously, the easy one is 2004, where Auburn had a top five total defense. They were fifth in total defense and 26th in total offense. Auburn went 13-0, got jobbed for the national championship, jobbed out of the national championship. Imagine if the playoffs then. I think you'd have a national championship. I don't think anybody – USC would have been a really good matchup. That would have been a really good game. They had just blown out Auburn the year prior. So it's like one of those – it could have been one of those like revenge get-back games. But, I mean, that was a fantastic team. That's one. What's another one? I'm sure you're thinking 2010's got to be in there. 2010's not. Auburn had a very poor defense in total defense in 2010. Well, maybe 2013. Auburn also had a very poor defense in 2014. A lot of those Tuberville years, you had really good defenses, but not quite good enough offense to get inside that top 46. 2019 was pretty close. You had a really good, awesome defense, but your offense was, you know, a little bit iffy. 2017 is the only other time. So you got 2004 and 2017. 2017, Auburn was 14th in total defense and 26th in total offense. So if you go back, this is what's the depressing part. If you're just looking at total offense and total defense, if you go back over the last 23, 24 years, all the way back to 2000, there's only been two teams that have been better in both of those statistics than this team. And one of them went undefeated, and one of them won the SEC West title. And honestly, if it hadn't have been for a crazy injury, like if it hadn't been for Kerryon getting hurt in the Alabama game where he was just completely dominating the game, you probably are in the playoffs, you know, in the playoffs, or at least, you know, have a shot to, you know, maybe have a shot to win the title. So it's crazy. It's crazy to think about. Like, this team currently is performing from a yardage perspective on both sides of the ball well enough to be a championship team. You're gaining enough yards. You're keeping the other team from gaining enough yards. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, we racked up on poor teams. Well, so is everybody. I mean, Auburn, only counting Auburn playing some cream puff or not powder puff, you know, whatever, cupcake teams. It's not just Auburn that's getting those factored in there. It's everybody. Even the 2004 team played some really poor teams. The 2017 team played some really poor teams. So how is that even possible? I think that's a good question. How is it even possible that Auburn can have these type of numbers on both sides of the ball and be 3-6? It's hard to imagine how bad, or it's hard to imagine how that you can even achieve that. Like it's kind of like I almost clipped it to save it so I could play it. It's like the Anchorman quote, you know. I'm not even mad. That's amazing. It is. It truly is. It's amazing that Auburn can be that effective at times on both sides of the ball, especially on defense, and be 3-6. So how is it possible? So let me go over some other stats, and these will probably I'm building you up. Now I'm going to chop your legs out. Now I'm going to chop your legs out from under you. Okay. First of all, I understand there's three games left. Okay. So these numbers could change, but the defensive numbers, I think, have a chance to maybe get better because unless the team just gives up, which I don't really see in this team, I think this team continues to fight and fight and fight, especially these young guys. ULM, you could have a really good defensive performance. Texas A&M's not, I think they're one of their best running backs, probably, I think, out for the year or dinged up really bad. They're not a really explosive offense. Alabama's a really good offense. So that one could be one that maybe take a little bit of a hit on your numbers. On the other side of the ball, you should be able to have a pretty good game offensively against ULM. I'm concerned about Texas A&M, their defense. That could present some issues with us, for us. And then Alabama's not very impressive on defense. So, in theory, you could still kind of hang around those same numbers. Everybody else has to play their tough, end-of-the-year conference games too. So, I understand that there's still three games left and those numbers can change. But as of now, those numbers really shock me, blow me away, and I'm trying to figure out how that happened. And I think I've figured out some ways that it's happened that have to change and have to change in a hurry for Auburn to be able to take advantage, move forward. If next year, if you have the same numbers, you can't have the same record. So how is this possible? Let's talk about a few things. Scoring offense, okay? That is putting the ball in the end zone or through the uprights. As decent as Auburn is as far as moving the ball, Auburn is 90th in the country in scoring offense. So we can move it, but we're not scoring. I think that's a huge deal. So we're obviously how are we not? What are some things that are keeping us from being able to score? Okay, we're moving the ball. And we're moving the ball fairly decent. We're moving the ball pretty well, but we're not scoring. How is that possible? So let's look at a couple other things. Obviously, the easy one's turnover margin. Auburn is 127th in turnover margin. Now, I understand that a lot of those turnovers came in two games. You had 10 of your total turnovers come in two games. Okay. And honestly, those 10 turnovers, more than likely, if you cut those in half, you may win both of those games. You may score more points if you don't turn the ball over. So 127th in turnover margin. That seems to have been, over the last couple of games, you've done a lot better as far as protecting the ball, but it's kind of come at a price, I feel like. You're protecting the ball, but you're also going into an uber-conservative version of uber conservative version of the offense that maybe is a little bit predictable, is a little bit easier to defend. There's less big plays, things like that, which is what makes this offense so explosive, is obviously big plays, things like that. 127th in turnover margin. That's got to change. Got to fix that. Have to fix that. You got to turn the ball over more. You got to get more turnovers, obviously, to help as well. We haven't really created a lot of turnovers that to help this margin either, to erase a lot of those turnovers. So got to get better there. This is a big one. Auburn is 109th in sacks allowed. How many times do you feel like this year we've had a really good drive that's had you get down to maybe the 30 or even the 40, but you're driving really well, and then you take a big sack, and kills the drive. It doesn't sort of kill the drive. It kills the drive. 109th in sacks allowed. That is something that's got to get better. You got to figure out a lot of that is just – you had a really, I feel like, and I hate piling on players, but you made I don't know if you want to say a poor evaluation. I think you got what was considered the best tackle available at the time. you missed on a couple that you really wanted in the portal this past offseason. And you went and you got Percy Lewis, who was, you know, a lot of teams wanted. Tennessee wanted him really bad. There was a couple of other SEC teams that were pushing really hard for him. And for whatever reason, he's had a very hard time grasping this playbook. Missed assignments has been a constant theme with him. Maybe it's not necessarily that he's a bad offensive tackle. It's that for whatever reason, he can't pick up the offense. He hasn't been able to pick up the offense. And that's been able to lead to crucial sacks at times that seems, you know, that kills drives, that kills momentum. And not only that, maybe speeds up the clock to where, you know, you make bad decisions. 109th in sacks allowed. That's got to be fixed. Auburn needs to get, they've got a really good, in my opinion, they got a really good core on the interior that can play, that are very flexible, that can do a lot of things. I think they got some young guys that could probably slide and play that right tackle position. I think you got to go in the portal and try to go get, you know, a blockbuster left tackle, the best left tackle that you can find. And if you can keep I think Auburn feels pretty confident about keeping Jeremiah Wright. They're going to try their best to keep Dylan Wade, who has another year. And if he can play inside, which I think if he's inside, that's the best possible scenario for an offensive line. If you can get a blockbuster left tackle in the portal, I think it may fix a lot of those things. And I like, obviously, having Will Redmond in play here for the December portal. 109th in sacks allowed. Here's another one. This one kills your scoring offense. Dead last in field goal percentage. Dead last. 6 of 14, I believe. So it's like 46% from you know, kicking field goals. That's uncharted territory for Auburn, especially over the past, seems like, decade. Auburn always seems to have a really good kicker that you can lean on. And I think that changes play calling, that changes decision making, and that changes a lot of things about what you do when you get into plus territory, when you get on the other side of the 50. It changes a lot of things because you can't just call plays freely anymore because you feel like, hey, if we get inside the 40-yard line, we got a chance. You know, we basically got almost an automatic 3 points. I feel terrible for Towns because he's in a situation that he didn't sign up for. Now, I know a lot of people say, you know, you go play college football, you got to be ready to play. And I understand that. And to an extent, I agree. But I don't think in either scenario, him going to Ole Miss or going to Auburn, he was going to be or relied upon to be the guy right out of the gate. I think he could have been he could have been a kickoff specialist to start off, and I think that was kind of the plan. He's got a big leg, be a kickoff specialist to start off with. You got Alex McPherson, who's automatic, being the guy, and then obviously Alex has had his health issues that have continued to plague him. Got him again last week before the game. And he was out for the game, and obviously Towns had to kick again. And poor guy, man, his confidence seems to be kind of shot. And I'm hoping that he hangs in there because I think he can be a really good kicker. I think he's got a lot of natural talent, you know, to be able to be a collegiate kicker. But you're dead last. You're dead last in field goal percentage. That kills you. That kills you in scoring. In total scoring. I mean, I understand you want to pay off red zone trips with touchdowns. I understand you want to pay off drives with touchdowns, but field goals are big. And there's some games where, hey, if you make a couple of field goals that you missed, it maybe completely changes the outlook of the game. So that's, I think those four things are how you explain how Auburn could be so decent on both sides of the ball from a yardage perspective, but for some reason are still 3-6. Now, if Auburn was like middle of the road in those categories, Auburn's probably not 3-6, but you're like towards the bottom of the country in those four categories. You're the bottom of the list in the whole country in at least in about three of them. And you're somewhere, you know, on the bottom half in another. So what does this mean? I mean, I watch Auburn and I'm watching the game and I feel like this is not a 3-6 team. You know, it feels like I understand there's some deficiencies. That's to be expected in year two. But it's like, man, this feels like a pretty scrappy little football team that just how are we 3-6? And I think I figured it out. And the stat kind of justifies the eye test, I guess, that I have. The 21st in total defense and 46th in total offense. Again, it kind of that justifies my eye test that I have. But obviously, you have these other categories that are killing Auburn and leading to what you see, leading the record that you see. So there's definitely some things that have to be cleaned up in the offseason. And I want to see it through. I want to see it happen. I want to see them try to retain this roster. I want to see them close out this class. And I want to see year three going through the portal, going and getting the guys that you feel like you can get to help remedy these situations, these terrible statistics that are killing you from your better statistics, and see what happens. Because I don't feel like, again, I don't feel like this team is as far off as the record shows. I really don't. And I think the stat that we shared earlier in the show kind of shows that. So we'll see what happens. It's an off week. We do have basketball. Going to be a lot of basketball coverage. So if you're already subscribed to the Barn Auburn YouTube page, you'll be kept up to date there. Number one versus number two in KenPom this weekend. Game of the year, game two. It's going to be exciting, and we're going to go live. Zepp and I are going to go live after the game. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you got that alert bell, notification bell checked so that you're notified when we go. And we'll dive into it and have some fun after the game. Guys, I really appreciate you hanging in there through this tough season. I know it's not been fun. Almost listening to Auburn talk has been sort of like abuse, self-harm. It's putting yourself through the ringer. After already taking your emotions down after watching loss after loss. But we're going to get through it. We're going to have fun doing so. We do have basketball season to kind of look forward to as well. So, guys, I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be back every single day in some form or fashion. We're going to go live Sunday. So definitely make sure that you're there for that. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.